Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's Mwamba with my wife, Karina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, coming to you live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all wherever you are around the world. Please know that you are in our prayers, even as the Lord blesses. It has been a great time for us to be running for Jesus. We're doing well with our Bible school. The students are growing. Things are moving on very fine, and we're seeing a dynamic change amongst our students. They grow in the things of God. You know, God called me to the ministry many, many years ago in 1980. First, I didn't know about God. I used to go to the Catholic Church. My mother, when I was young, would take us to the Catholic Church every Sunday, putting me a penny, you know, because Zimbabwe used to be a colony of the United Kingdom. And so we used the pounds and shillings and pennies, the money that was used in the UK. But by God's grace, as I was going to the church there in Kitwe, in Zambia, my mother always made sure that Sunday, come Sunday, we are in church. And because of that, you know, I got to get close with the things of God. Although I didn't really know God per se, but I got pretty close. And so eventually my mother influenced me to join the, as an altar boy, to serve the mass in the Catholic Church. And I was, you know, one of the, you know, altar boys. You wear the clothing, altar boy regalia. You have the red top. Actually, it was a white top, red skirt, and a small little hanging flap. And so we'd serve the service, serve the priest as he went along doing the usual manual work, a daily work. We'll follow him behind and, you know, follow the service and pray in Latin with him. I did that for, I think, a year or so, because I was pretty young, but, you know, my mother influenced me to do that, which was a good thing to do. You see, parents have got a great, you know, kind of work to do as regards the children. You know, whatever you tell the children many times, they'll never forget, even when they grow. And so look at me, now I'm a grown man, but I haven't forgotten what my mother used to do and influence us to do in the church. And so as a young man, I was serving in the Catholic Church, but like I told you, I never knew God until 1977, when a schoolmate of mine by the name of Catherine Namonje came to my home. But this time I was working. I was working for a big copper power company, as an electrical foreman. A big responsibility, had a big home and a big job with a lot of workers under me. But you see, one day, it was actually a Saturday, I'll never forget, no, Sunday. 7th of August, 1977, I was resting at my home. There were three of us bachelors living in that particular house. And as I was resting, this Catherine Namonje came by to say hello. No, we had been in the schoolmates many, many years ago, and I greeted her as been almost just as a friend. Then she started talking about how that her life was totally different, in that now she doesn't have to worry about things. She said, you know, whenever she has a problem, she'll pray and the Lord will hear her and answer. Well, that's something I'd never experienced before, because I had a ton of problems, you know. I'd been drinking quite a bit, not so heavily, but drinking and getting into trouble. And so I said to myself, you know, Catherine, I mean, you mean to tell me that this God, the same God we serve, he answers you and you got no problem? She said, yeah. So, you know, I was listening to her explain all these things to me, and I got so touched. To the extent that as she was leaving, I told Catherine, I said, you know, Catherine, I think I'll start going to church. I think she knew what was going on with me, although afterwards she told me that she had been praying for me, that I'll be born again, and I didn't know what born again meant. But anyway, as she left, I said, you know, Catherine, I think I'll start going to church. Like I said, I think she knew that, okay, the Lord, by the Holy Ghost, was working on me somehow. But anyway, I escorted us. We went on the road, and I got across to our home. And I was coming back. I looked towards where the sun was setting, and it looked very pepperish and reddish, and For the first time, as I walked into our bachelor's pad, there were three of us bachelors, me and Jefferson Mwowo, if I can remember well, and another guy, Danny Malenga. And as I got home, I saw, for the first time, I saw the flowers that were planted by the door entrance to the house. Can you imagine? I've lived there many years. Not many years, but I think that was, must have been the second year or so. But I never seen any flowers. That shocked me. And so as I walked in and I was thinking, I saw the beauty of the flowers. I went to my bedroom and something gripped me just to write a letter to God. And I said, Lord, I got to my dressing table, very, very beautiful, nice dressing table. I was a musician, you know, and I had a stack of records by people like the, you know, the Beatles. I had songs by this guy from Jamaica, some other musicians. Quite a part. I had some names, I might not remember them, but I had quite a number by collection. And I knelt down to write a letter to God. And I wrote a letter. I said, Dear God, I'm writing this letter to you that you may forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for anything wrong that I've done to you. And as I wrote, you know, right there, suddenly, I was to sign my name. First, I put the date, 7th August 1977. And then I put a signed, I wanted to sign Lawrence Mwamba to sign my signature. Something hit me from the back of my head. It was like a slap, a very heavy slap, but not painful, just that it hit me where I lost my balance and fell to the floor. And from then on, I blacked out. I couldn't see anything. When I opened my eyes, first, I felt something like a hand get into inside me and pull out the black sheet, and I could hear this swishing sound go like, fop, and my eyes opened. I could see, and I saw the things that this pin, the posters on the wall, and I was amazed what was going on. And therein, the Spirit of the Lord started showing me what was going to happen in my future, how God was going to take me around the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom. This was amazing. I never experienced such a thing like this before. And so my life was totally touched and totally changed. I stood up shaking in my boots. I didn't have any boots, but like I said, shaking in your boots. I was shaking all over me as the power of God worked upon me. I didn't know what happened. Well, I started getting ready, but within a short time, Catherine Amonja came, and I told her, Catherine, what I've just told you. I said, Catherine, you know, when you left, the power of God came upon me. Look, the prayer that I wrote. I showed her the prayer. She said to me, hey, you know, Larry, what happened to you? God touched you. I said, what do you mean God touched me? He says, no, God had mercy on you, and he touched your life. I said, really? He said, you know what? Jesus has come to visit you, and he came to be with you. All these terminologies were so new to me, I couldn't believe Jesus. I said, you mean Jesus, the same one who hangs on the cross in the Catholic Church? You see, because when I went to the Catholic Church, Jesus hung on the cross, you see. We'll be going with the priest, and I'll see Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, that's the Jesus I knew. And we'll go with the priest from pole to pole praying, especially when the Passion Week came, when we are celebrating the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I will be going, I could see these pillars where they put Jesus. I saw him hanging on this cross. So I said to Catherine Amonja, I said, you mean to tell me that same Jesus has got such power? She said, yes. She said, okay, bring your hand here. So I produced my hand to her, and she joined hands with me, and she said, let's pray. So she said, pray after me. Say this. Say, Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for saving my life, for saving my life. Lord Jesus, she said. I said, Lord Jesus, said, come into my life. I said, come into my life right now, right now. Make me clean. Make me clean. Wash me. Wash me from all my sins. When I prayed that prayer, I felt so clean from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And then she told me, she said, now, Larry, you are born again. I said, what? She said, you are born again. Man, this was such an experience. I couldn't believe it that I was born again. I didn't know. I said, what do you mean born again? She said, you know, when you come to know the Lord that you have done, we call it born again. Okay, let's go. She said, okay, let's go. So we went and got into one of the minibuses there in Indeke. and we were on the way to church. We went to this church. She was a nurse, and there was a nurses fellowship. And so we went there at the hospital after we got off this minibus, and there they were, you know, young women and with a few young men, because it was mostly the nurses. And there I was, and she was introducing, "Oh, this is Brother Larry, Brother Larry." And they came to greet me. "How are you, brother?" I said, "Man, these are not my brothers. I do not know you. You're not my brother." But then I asked, I said, "Cousin, what does it mean they're saying to me, brother or brother, sister?" They said, "No, when you become a child of God, you become a brother. And you become a sister to anybody who is born again." Man, things were new. And this guy got to reading in the book of Romans in chapter number 1. He was preaching about the message of God, how that the people never knew God, and God still had mercy on them, and how that God, you know, rejected them because of their sinful life. And all this scripture was banging me like a sledgehammer. That next day I was working in Chingola. I'll never forget that, because I was now an artisan. I was a big boss on my job. I was given a company car, and I had workers under me, about 15 employees. And so I got onto this vehicle, and I had to drive all the way to Chingola. But on the way, that's next day, see, because that happened on Sunday. I went to the Nurses Fellowship on Sunday, and Monday I was working in Chingola. I made a decision. I said, "You know what? Before I go anywhere, the first thing is I must get a Bible." So in actual fact, by the time that Catherine Amonjo was escorting me home, I asked her, I said, "Catherine, what do I need to do now? Which church should I go to?" And you know what she told me? She said, "Whatever church you feel comfortable with, that's the church you can go to." I said, "You mean whatever church I feel comfortable with?" And she said, "Yes." I said, okay, I can even go anywhere I decide." She said, "No, whatever church you're comfortable with, that's the church you should go." But you know, now that I know, and now that I'm born again, I believe it's not safe to tell somebody whatever church. Direct them to a church you know that they'll grow. Because, you know, if you say whatever church, they're going to end up in the Watchtower Church. So some of these churches which are not grounded into the proper theology of the teachings of the scriptures, you see. But anyway, I decided I was going to go to the United Church of Zambia. This United Church of Zambia is more like, you know, evangelical in their faith. By evangelical, I mean they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus came, that he's the Son of God. They believe in the baptism in the water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. They believe that you can speak in other tongues as the Spirit fills you with the Holy Ghost. And I decided, I said, you know, I'm going to go there. That's where I started to go. And you know what? From then on, my life was never the same. And now here I am, a preacher here in the United States. I've gone around the world. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've preached all over in London. I've been to South Wales in England. I've preached in Port Talbot. I've been to Cardiff. I've been all the way up in Sweden with my friend Lashikana Sandberg. I've preached up there in Vogra, in Kumla, in Henne, in Alingsås. I've been to Paris. I've traveled all over the Africa. I've crisscrossed South Africa. I've been to Zimbabwe. I preached in Botswana. I preached in Kenya. I went to Bible school in Nigeria for 2 years. I spent there. I was ordained by the Archbishop as a minister of the gospel. I came to the United States. I crisscrossed and preached all over the United States. I've been over Washington, D.C. I've been to New York. I went to seminary in Massachusetts for my Master of Divinity degree program. I was granted a honorary Doctor of Divinity degree from North Carolina, Rocky Mount Christian Bible College. So I'm a doctor with a divinity degree. I moved. I lived in Tulsa, attended the Oral Roberts Ministries. I went there with Billy Joe Dougherty at his church, Victory Ministries. I've been to T.L. Osborne and LaDonna Osborne in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I did 3 years of correspondence studies with Rhema here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow. I crisscrossed. I've been to Atlanta, Georgia. I've been with the L. Park Ministries, linked up as an associate minister with the L. Park Ministries. Crisscrossed, went to North Carolina, preached with the Apostle Club at his church, moved all over, been around Texas, cross, Fort Lauderdale. I've moved across St. Louis, Missouri, preached there in Aeolia, in St. Louis itself. I went all the way to Illinois, been to Chicago. Friend, I never knew that I was going to be such a trip. But I believed God because of his message that he had given me. Today, you know, I'd like to share with you, although I've taken so much time in trying to introduce how I was born again, how God changed my life, but I just want to tell you one thing. In whatsoever things you need from the Lord, one thing you need to know is this. God will always meet you at your point of need. You hear that? God will always meet you at the point of your need. And listen, because, you know, the Lord is so gracious and merciful. He has given us tools whereby we can experience success in our life and ministry. The book of Hebrews is a book of victory. The book of Hebrews, that's where you see how other Christians, how other men of God made it. How did these great men of God make it in the times of great odds? How did these great apostles make it in times of great odds? These big ministers, these mighty apostles, these prophets of the living God of Israel, they made it because they trusted in Jehovah God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, there's a scripture which is very famous. You know it yourself. And it's in the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. It's reading from verse number 1. I'd like you to turn with me as I turn my Bible right here to the book of Hebrews. Are you there? Hebrews and chapter number 11. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is the Apostle Paul. This book of Hebrews is ascribed to the Apostle Paul as the writer of the book of Hebrews. Now, there in Hebrews and chapter number 11, we see the words of the Apostle Paul. He was a mighty man of faith. He served just like I was saved, dramatically by the power of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews. He said there in Hebrews number 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see here that faith is the substance. So faith has substance. When you have faith, you have substance for things hoped for. Now, what are things hoped for? Things hoped for are always the future. You see, if I have $1 million right now, I'm not hoping for $1 million. I already got it. Why should I hope for $1 million when I already got it? You see what I'm saying? You don't use your hope for the things that you already have. You use hope for the things that you're going to have tomorrow or whatever day. But you see, faith gives substance to your hope. You see, here the Apostle Paul writing, he says, now faith is. When is faith? Faith is right now. He says, now faith is the evidence or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what we are saying here is that when you have faith, your faith gives substance to things that are future. In actual fact, your faith brings the future into the now. So that's why the Apostle Paul there says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And he says there, the evidence of things not seen. So faith gives substance to the things that you are hoping for. And also faith gives substance to things not seen. It's the things you cannot see with your eyes. Faith gives substance to them. Things that are so tough, faith gives substance to things that are tough, things that you can't see, things that you can't hold tangibly with your hands. Faith is the key that will unlock the future of your ministry, the future of your life, the future of your actual sustenance here on earth. It's by faith that you're going to see things happen in your life. It's by faith that you're going to see finances come from the heavenlies. Well, when I say the heavenlies, you know, money does not drop from heaven. Money comes through our hard work, our proper planning, you know, getting involved in proper businesses, doing proper contracts, trusting God that as you invest your money, you're going to get a return on it, right? Money doesn't drop from heaven. Now, there are keys to getting money while you're in the church, because these keys were set by God to make you have a financial breakthrough. Now, these keys are simple keys which have been there all the time. We see them in Malachi and chapter 3 and verse 10. Because there, the apostle, actually Malachi, the prophet, was writing, bring all your tithes and offerings unto mine house, that there may be meat in my house. And there the Lord says, and prove me herewith, if I shall not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will be what? There will be no room for you to receive it. That's what he was saying here. Bring all your tithes and offerings unto mine house, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing for you to receive it. That's in Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see that? This is a blessing. Listen, if you want to be prosperous, physically speaking, when I say physically speaking, what I mean is, if you want to see God grant you provision for the things you need in this life, you must follow the keys he established. For us to get money right now, you got to tithe. Tithing is the key that unlocks the treasures of heaven. Let me tell you what. When you start to tithe, things will start to change. I know I've been going to fellowship church, you know, going with my family, with my wife. And sometimes we go through quite a tough time, but we give whatsoever we have so far. And we have seen God start to give us a turnaround. I said to myself, what if we give $1,000 right now? Whew, we'll be getting into such blessings. Because already I see ourselves, you know, we have a brand new vehicle, a nice home. We're getting furniture. Some stuff being given to us. Can you imagine? Okay, somebody just saying, hey, have this bookshelf. Hey, have this bed. Oh, hey, have this. And you know what? You must have a language of prosperity also to experience the abundance of God. See, don't go around talking about, oh, me, I'm just a broke fella, you know. I don't know where my tomorrow is going to. Such kind of a talk is the talk of people who have failed. Don't entertain failure in your mind or in your vocabulary. Speak positively in your life. Talk about things of an overcomer. Say with yourself, God is granting me breakthroughs. I'm seeing things happening. Money is coming to me. There was a preacher, I can't remember, I think he's a Pastor Leroy. He said, you know, he told his congregation, say, money cometh to me. Money cometh to me. And right now it's coming to me. You see, by saying money cometh to me, he was planting a seed in the spirit and commanding money to come. You know, you and me were created in the image of God. You say, oh, Bishop Mamba, what's the image of God? The image of God is simply that God is a spirit. The Bible said, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, since God is spirit, you can only communicate with God by his spirit. The image that we have is a spiritual image. Since God is spirit, you are spirit. You act like God. Now, how does God behave? You know, God speaks things into existence. When God, the earth was damaged by whatever happened to it, we know the story, how that the devil sinned against God, how that he was cast out of heaven, how that Michael and his angels fought the devil and thrust him to this earth. Now, during that big war, there was a deluge of waters that broke out from under the heavens and filled up the whole skies, and the whole earth was submerged in water. That's why you read in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. No, that's when you read that like that, you know, that's in the chapter 1, verse 1. But when you go to the book of Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. See? So if God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, that means everything was perfect, right? Because God does not make anything sub-excellent or are halfway. Everything God does is perfect. So the word of God tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But then the scripture also says, but the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So very creation, which was in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They were perfect. Suddenly it was without form and void. This was the deluge and the punishment of Lucifer when God cast him out of heaven and Michael and these angels thrust him out and made him sure that he didn't occupy the heavens and didn't do what he wanted to do. So everything was covered which God had created in his perfection, see. But then he started to speak forth to bring back his creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. These things he had created, so it was a recreation of what God had already had. But you know, how did he create it? He spoke it. So that's why it's important for you to speak things too. You must speak your house into existence. Say, God has given me my house. I know my wife had been speaking for a long time and calling for a vehicle until she got it. She was calling on a particular design of a car, a model of a car. Every time she was calling it, now she has it. Even me, a husband, you know, I'm a man of faith, but I was so tired of hearing it. And I just said, come on now, where are you going to get you, whatever you call for? I was so tired of it. But listen, she had it. She got it, finally got it. And that's proof that what we say will always come to pass. Do not ever lose heart when things are going bad. Don't increase the badness of the situation by saying, you know, this thing is killing me. No, nothing is killing you. Say with me, I got my job. God is working at my working place. I'm getting a promotion. They're trying to demote you. Start talking like me. I'm being promoted instead of being brought down. God has established me as a manager. I'm going ahead. I'm being promoted to a full manager. I'm no more an assistant store manager. I'm a manager. And then I'm going to be a district manager. Start talking like that. Speak positively. Say things like they're happening right now, and they will happen. Say, nobody can take away my job. God has blessed me with this job, and I'm going to keep it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God is opening more doors for me. He's opening doors in the east. He's opening doors in the west. Doors everywhere. You know, as you do that, you are enforcing a great force of faith in the spirit. Eventually, you're going to see things begin to change. So the power to your success is to walk in faith. You must walk in faith. You must believe that the Lord is with you. You must believe that you're created in the image of God, and whatsoever you say will come to pass. You know, I've traveled a lot myself, and I've been at the brink of not knowing what to do. I've been quiet many times when I don't know what to do. You know, I'm human just like you. I just stay quiet, and I think about what's going on. Sometimes the energy even to pray is gone. All I do is just confess positive things. I let the right thoughts of God go through my head, and I don't let bad things come out of my mouth. I praise God, and I thank him for his mercy, and I say to myself, God is seeing me through even this particular issue. Let me tell you what. Whatsoever God has promised you that it's going to come to pass, it will come to pass, and the devil will not take anything away. Beloved one, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, Elder Tarina Mwamba. Here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, we're signing off on this broadcast and telling you we'll be with you again tomorrow. Well, God bless you. I'll see you again on another broadcast. This is Bishop Mwamba. Bye-bye.